The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Let's go!
It's time to talk about the high school sports scene in Arizona and beyond. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with the coach, Scott Lovely. We are the first internet sports radio talk show focusing on the high school sports scene. And here's your host, Coach Lovely.
All right, good evening, good afternoon, good evening, Arizona high school sports fans. I am the coach, Scott Lovely, and welcome to today's Coach's Corner. You can participate in today's conversation by giving us a call, 888-346-9144. I tell you what, today I am fired up hot. After a week of listening to all the prognosticators and all the people talk about the NFL and the illegal hits and how they were going to crack down on everything. And, you know, I tried to ignore it all. I tried to just push it off to the side because it was high school sports. I didn't want to deal with it. You know, we're not having these issues. But you know what? The more and more I watch high school sports, the more and more I watch what's happening to our high school sports, the more and more I watch the degradation of the game, it all stems from the pros. And so in watching and listening to all this stuff go on, and then you hear the NFL saying they're going to crack down, and also, you know what? Boy, today's going to be a good show. They talked about all the illegal hits and the ruling on illegal hits and possible suspensions and possible fines and blah, blah, blah. You know, I have one word that sums up this whole thing. Hypocrisy. You know, the NFL, the guys in the front office, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You know, bottom line, role models. Let's talk about role models for a second, because, you know, you have Charles Barkley came out with a commercial a few years back. I am not a role model. Well, you know what, Chuck? Unfortunately, you are a role model. And the reason I say you are a role model, as are all the other football players and all the other people in the NFL and the NBA and the MLB, all of you are role models. By definition, you are role models. See, the definition of role model is this: a person whose behavior, example, or success is or can be emulated by others, especially by young people. So hence, if you get drafted into the NFL, hence if you sign a Division I or Division II football scholarship and people are looking up to you, you are a role model. So get used to it. Now, since you're a role model, you have to figure out what you're going to do in that spot. Now, NFL, I'm going to tell you something. You have been for years allowing guys to hit with their heads down, to lower the boom on guys, and now you're talking about, oh, well, you know, we can't have that in the sport. Boy, the crackdown. I'm just going to reference here what the NFL said in a few of the articles and a few of the things that have come out. It says the NFL is enforcing its rules on concussions, imposing $175,000 in fines against three professional players for violating the rules of unnecessary roughness, which could lead to concussions. Rule 12, Section 2, Article 8 of the NFL rulebook explains the unnecessary roughness that NFL players are expected to abide by. Now, during the first 6 weeks of the 2010 season, the NFL listed 46 players on the injured list with concussions or other head and neck injuries, which is an increase over previous seasons. So now you're going to respond, because now it seems like it's going up. Well, you know what's funny about it is this, is that you have Ray Lewis, Baltimore linebacker, talking about how the sport is now, the game's going to get diluted. Then you've got NFL fines on players like James Harrison from Pittsburgh, Duante Robinson from Atlanta, and Brandon Merriweather for illegal hits last weekend, $175,000. Both Robinson and Merriweather were fined $50,000, and James Harrison, linebacker, was fined $75,000. Now you have Joey Porter chiming in, too, saying that, you know, there's no more hitting hard. That's what our game's about. It's a gladiator sport, Porter said. I mean, the whole excitement of people getting hit hard, big plays happening, stuff like that, that's the big draw to the sport. Violence has always been a part of NFL, bringing soaring TV ratings and a strong audience, along with the allure that accompanied tackles by Chuck Bednarik, Fred the Hammer Williamson, and Jack the Assassin Tatum. So, you know, you look at this, man, the NFL has made their stock and trade on big hits. Miami linebacker Channing Crowder said, the only way to prevent helmet-to-helmet hits is eliminating the helmet. He said, if I get a chance to knock somebody out, I'm going to knock them out and take what they give me, Crowder said. They give me a helmet, so I'm going to use it. I think maybe he's been hit too many times in the head because the kid doesn't figure out if you hit somebody with a helmet, you can get hurt. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Cleveland linebacker Scott Fujita says that I think people out there would be shocked at the things players hear in the meetings with their coaches and the things they're supposed to do and the way they're taught to hit people. So it's being perpetuated in the locker room by the coaches. And the NFL is going to now try and distance themselves from the situation. You can't distance yourself, NFL, because it's your business that's perpetuating this. Ray Lewis signed an incentive-laden deal in March of 2009. His contract, his first 7-year contract was a $50 million contract, and it expired in 2008. So, after having great seasons and knocking the snot out of people, Ray Lewis was rewarded by a $44.5 million contract. The man made $95 million playing football in his career at this point, just for playing. That's not counting his endorsements. How was he getting endorsements? Why was he getting endorsements? Because he was hitting. That's why he was getting endorsements. This last Saturday, I was watching Fox Sports. Loved Howie, Terry. That show's great. Now, as I'm watching it, John Lynch, the Tampa Bay Bucks, New England Patriots, and the Denver Broncos, who played from 1993 to 2008, he was on the pregame show with them. Now, Lynch mentioned that he was hit with a fine for $75,000 for unnecessary roughness on Dallas Clark in 2004. Now, his first three fines in his career, he only had to pay $7,500. His fourth fine, they leveled him with a $75,000 fine. But see, here's the thing. He also said it doesn't matter because the year after I was fined $75,000, my contract was $1.5 million. And he signed that contract because of his play. You know, here's the funny thing. Although his reputation for being a hard-hitting safety earned him 9 Pro Bowl appearances, 4 all-pro team nominations, a Super Bowl championship, and multiple multi-million-dollar contracts. The funny thing is that if you go and Google John Lynch, he has a reputation of being the number 10th on the NFL Network's top 10 most feared tacklers list. So even they put him on their list for the NFL Network. Oh, God, this guy can hit. This guy, you know, you pull up his history, and here's some things that were said about John Lynch. A big hitting safety, John Lynch, crushing collisions are over. This was announcing his retirement. Mike Shanahan said he's set an example on how to be a pro. Lynch made it known that there was a price for coming over the middle, a painful pounding. He made a name for himself with big hits, said safety Marlon McCree, whose emergence in Denver eventually led to Lynch bolting from the Broncos. That's the type of player he was. Lynch set the tone for the defense with his jarring hits. There's nothing better than John getting that first big hit early, said Broncos lineman. McCree thanks the likes of Lynch for his pocketbook. He says Lynch and Brian Dawkins from Philadelphia and others are hard-hitting safeties are reasons why he's well compensated. The prototypical safety is someone who seeks out contact, just like Lynch. He made numerous rib-rattling hits, like knocking Colts tight end Dallas Clark silly in the final game of the regular season 2004. He drew a $75,000 fine for that one. Lynch also was featured in the fair share of videos promoting fierce hits. His collisions are the stamp on his career. You know, if you look at what John Lynch did in his career, if you Google the NFL hard hits or hit big hits, you'd be amazed at how many videos there are out there. The NFL is making money off of these videos. They're promoting these videos. They're selling the highlights of the games that show these hits. They're pushing the hits. They're talking about, look at our product. Look at what's happening. These guys are fierce hitting, you know. And then they turn around and want to pull them back a little bit and say, okay, hey, you know, don't hit with the helmet. Don't do this. Don't. Yeah, we know we've been telling you this for the last several years. These guys are becoming missiles coming across the middle. You get a receiver coming across the middle, ball comes up. They don't tackle like we were taught to tackle when we were younger. The whole focus is about the dollars. I mean, come on, really, NFL? It's all about the money. Let's make no mistake. College costs are rising, and the price tag for your kid's education is going to be $100,000 for 4 years if your kid goes to a bigger school. High school kids are fighting for that money. You have college kids who want to make a living playing on Sundays, so they're vying for the million-dollar paydays. So really, let's talk about the truth. The truth is, this is all about money. All about money. So the focus is hit as hard as you can. Hit as many guys as you can. Hit as hard as you can. Joey Porter was honest. He came out and said, you know what? I'm out there on the field to knock somebody out. If I can put a guy out, I'm putting him out. That's my job. These guys don't feel bad about knocking somebody out. I mean, you watched the games this weekend. I don't know if you noticed it, but I did. Not many guys wrap up when they tackle. Most guys want to hit, knock a guy down. So now having to go back to the fundamentals is going to take some time. But the NFL is starting to try and say that, no, no, no. If you don't do it the right way, we're going to fine you. Really? We'll stop rewarding people for doing it. You reward them by allowing them to have these big fat contracts. You reward them by putting out these videos that show these big fierce hits. I don't see you taking that back. I don't see you taking those videos off. NFL, I got a question for you. If you don't want people hitting like that, why do you continue to promote it? It's a hypocrisy. That's what it is. Stop promoting the violence in the sport and then talk about we need to not be such a violent sport. Football is a violent sport. So either embrace it or let it go. And now we're going to talk about why this all came about when we come back from the break. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely. We'll be back in just a few.
What is game? Who got game? Where's the game in life? Behind the game, behind the game. I got game. She got game. We got...
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the...
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
It's more than a sports show. Tune in every Friday for End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Tony knows and does it all. Whether it's sports, business, or politics, the discussion all comes to focus in one place. You'll hear from the personalities as well as the everyday people, each bringing their own perspective to the discussion. This is a weekly forum that you'll want to be a part of. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie airs live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get ready for a show that's going to take it to the next level of sports talk. Get ready for Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. He's got 12 years of broadcast experience as an analyst for ESPN SportsCenter and NFL Live. And he has 10 years experience as a player with the Seahawks, Colts, Vikings, and Chargers, as well as the Winnipeg Blue Bombers of the CFL. You'll hear the truth and not the sidelines. Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. Unfiltered is not for the faint of heart. Tune in every weekday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. And today we're talking about NFL football and the impact that it's having on the high school game. We're going to kind of get to that, but I got to set the table for you because this past week we heard so much about the illegal hits, the head-to-head contact, all the ferocious contact and hits that were being made in the NFL over the past week, and the fines that were levied, and how it's going to change the game. And so in looking at this, and you'll see where I'm going, but in looking at this, the NFL, basically, they're being hypocrites in the whole situation, promoting the big hits and doing that. And so what we're doing right now is we're taking a look at this, and I talked about John Lynch before we left for the break. And when coming back from the break, I talked about what a role model is. And a role model, again, just so you hear this, is a person whose behavior, example, or success is or can be emulated by others, especially younger people. So all these guys in the NFL, the NFL has to realize that they are setting these guys up to be role models, and then now they're trying to say, hey, don't do this and don't do that, when it's too late because they put them on the posters for doing the very thing they're asking them not to do. So what I did was, when putting this together, I wanted to get one of my role models on the show, and so we're bringing in former NFL free safety, Ray Ellis from the Cleveland Browns and from the Philadelphia Eagles, and also played at the Ohio State University. If we're going to bring him in and get his perspective on this topic, because I know he's got a lot to say about this. So welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Scott. You're right, I do have a lot to say, but I've got a lot of different opinions because this affects my life in so many different ways. But first of all, I think it's accountability. Somebody has to be held accountable for this. So I myself have gone out on a limb, and I've raised my hand, and I said, here, me. I'll take responsibility for this because, and this is, you know, it's not about ego. It's about facts and not fiction, but just facts. And the fact of the matter is I was blessed to play football in the National Football League and to be a player that contributed. You know, I wasn't a guy who just, you know, had a couple plays here and there, but I think I was able to make an impact, and it's been documented. And I will say the impact that I made, I can say to myself, that I said, and I can say to those that are listening, that I sat in a meeting one day when I was contemplating retiring, and this was in my sixth year. And the reason why, because I sat in a meeting and I told the coach, I said, you know, coach, last night I counted the marks and the areas on my body that hurt it. And there were 13 different places that was on my body that hurt. And that coach said to me, well, Ray, you know, I just want to let you know that sometimes people prematurely walk away from the game when they're not ready. So you might want to think about it. That same coach, in sometime in that year, I don't remember if it was before or after that, we were in a film discussion. And I had a question. And that coach said to me, don't worry about covering. Hanford and many will cover. We pay you to hit. And see, that's what it is. I have a picture of myself that I sometimes have shown to my son and to other kids. And it's about speed and quickness. And I'm actually playing in a Rose Bowl. And I'm okay with this. I was getting torched. I got torched by Kevin Williams on a 60-yard bomb. And yet and still, I grabbed him and I caught him. But he was about a step or two faster than me. And what I realized is that, you know what? A step or two can cost you a career, and it certainly can cost you a hell of a lot of money. But then I realized that there was another way of which you could earn money in the NFL, and that was to hit. And I've been taught to hit. And as you said, you know, people are not wrapping their arms. It was something that I learned at a very young age. I had a coach by the name of Bill Knox. His brother was Chuck Knox, who was the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. And he used to tease me. As a matter of fact, if somebody Googles me, they could probably see head and shoulders. He used to tease me because I would just hit people. Many times I didn't wrap my arms because I had pretty good size, you know, as a corner in high school and then even as a safety in the pros. So there were many times if you could make that big hit, you didn't have to wrap your arms because they were going to fall. And so that's what happened is guys would try to make their reputations and become known throughout the league for hitting. Because you're right, we do emulate. Now, you and I differ a little bit, Scott, on the role model thing. I think it depends upon what that role is. And Jack Tatum was a role model for me because he showed me if you want to play football in the National Football League, here is the role of a safety. Anybody comes anywhere in this neighborhood, you take their head off. And you can make it in this league. And I tried that. And guess what? It worked. And so, yes, the league does have those highlight films out there. I can bring you one or two myself. But the fact of the matter is, you're right. So who are we going to hold accountable? Because the league is saying some things to players right now, and the players are not listening. The league is saying, okay, enough is enough. It's over with. Stop. And they think, some people will say that you just can't stop. Your body has been programmed and your mind has been programmed so that that's all you know how to do. I don't agree with that.
And I agree with you there. I think that you can stop. But here's my challenge. Here's where I stand with this, Ray. And this is what frustrates me the most. You have guys like James Harrison from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's being rewarded $13 million a year because he was able to lay the hat on people. Not because he was the best guy to wrap up and pull somebody down, but because he was laying a hat on somebody.
Oh, and I agree with you. I got a 500% raise. As Lynch talked about the compensation benefit that he got, I got a 500% raise because when I got a chance to get on the field, I showed them what I could do once I got. And a lot of it had to do with my physical play. There's no doubt about it. I still think that there is a way to be very, very physical. I mean, you can hit a guy. You don't want to break his ribs, but you can hit him in his ribs. The ball would be dislodged because the player will be in pain. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the helmet that is so scary. Interesting, Scott, this morning we had a show here on Voice America Sports on Keenan Howard's show. And you want to talk about a perspective? Keenan had three current NFL wives on his show today. They brought a perspective where I said I wanted to be the voice of reason last week, and I brought it to the attention of some people to just stop and think about the Adam Tarifaros. Nick Bonacani's got a son out there who to this day I think is still a paraplegic. But when you start seeing those type of cases, it starts making you think about it differently. And these women who were on the show today, it was all about the health and the danger of the health of their husbands on that football field. That I think if people start looking, when it's the dear one of yours,
right,
is completely different. There, people used to pay to go see people beheaded years ago, you know, in the gladiators. But I'm sure the ones that were members of that person's family weren't too happy with witnessing that, and they probably didn't even show up.
Right.
So when we think about these guys that are laying on the field that are paralyzed, many people were at the game, clapped their hands, and hoped to see the thumbs up and all that. For them, it's over with. They know there's going to be another player. As a matter of fact, in football, in the summer when that kind of thing happens, you just move the drill. Let them take care of that person, and you continue with your practice. See, but these are human lives we're talking about, Scott.
Exactly. And I guess my problem with the whole thing is, Ray, is that the NFL just seems to want to put this onus on the players when they're not taking any responsibility themselves for the product that they're trying to promote and how it's hurting the game, not just at the NFL level, right? This is, I'm talking about the college level, and I'm talking about the high school level. I mentioned earlier that this is a money thing. I mean, you look at it, it's a money thing. High school players are trying to get college scholarships, so they're all fighting for the $100,000 scholarships, the four-year scholarships. Now, you got the college guys are all trying to fight to be recognized by a professional team so they get picked up on draft day. That's million-dollar contracts. So now you have to look at how the way you stand out is by getting those hits at the college level. The way you stand out is by getting those hits at the high school level. The way you get the college scholarship is by having that scout see you, lay the hat on somebody, boom, and then, oh, wow, I got to take a look at this kid.
Well, Scott, and I'm going to agree with you again to a point. And the point where I'm going to stop is you're right. Everything you mentioned there is right. But what you failed to mention is that was the case up into last week.
Exactly.
The game changed last week. When the game changed, it was an immediately effective today. Because I'll tell you what, I bet you can get people like myself and other guys who have played the game and guys who play the game today. And you ask them if they watched that game last night, that Green Bay Packers game, at the end of the game when the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers were playing the game, to me, that looked like a 7-on-7 drill.
I was going to say, it wasn't as physical. This weekend,
there was a guy on the goal line.
That's right.
There was a guy for the Green Bay Packers that caught a pass, and I am telling you, he was just about to step across the goal line. And a safety came in for the Vikings and kind of did not take that shot. Before yesterday, he takes that shot on the goal line, and there's a chance that the play is under review because was he across or was he not across when the ball came out?
But he did not
take that shot.
I saw that exact same thing. As a matter of fact, I saw it replayed several times, not just in the Green Bay Minnesota game, but yesterday morning in some of the earlier games. And you watch some of the highlights. As a matter of fact, even in the Cardinals game, as pathetic as that game was yesterday, you saw guys pulling up, not hitting. But see, here's the thing. They're still not tackling the way we were taught to tackle when we were younger.
Yeah, and I agree with you about that. But see, the tackling part to me is a little different because, you know, I'm sorry, but when Brandon Jacobs comes through the hole, I can't break down, head up, put my head between the numbers, wrap up, lift, and drive him to the ground. So when you're playing out there at that level, you got to do whatever you – and that's why so many injuries, really, because guys are so big. I mean, when you're telling me to form tackle somebody, again, this is in a walk-through drill. We're going half speed, and sometimes we go full speed, but we'll talk about that on the other side.
We'll come back with that. This is the Coach's Corner. We're being joined right now by Ray Ellis. We'll be back in just a few.
We got game, they got game, he got game. It might feel good, it might sound a little something. I found the game if it ain't saying nothing.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Mouyeh and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business talk.
It's more than a sports show. Tune in every Friday for End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Tony knows and does it all. Whether it's sports, business, or politics, the discussion all comes to focus in one place. You'll hear from the personalities as well as the everyday people, each bringing their own perspective to the discussion. This is a weekly forum that you'll want to be a part of. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie airs live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. And we're talking about the NFL and the hits and how they're starting to try and pull that level of violence out of the game so that we have less concussion situations occurring and less severe injuries taking place. And we're joined right now by Ray Ellis, former NFL football player for both the Cleveland Browns and the Philadelphia Eagles. And we've been talking about, you know, the way the NFL is trying to shift this. And my question now, Ray, is that if they're going to pull this back now, the NFL has to stop marketing their big hits videos and promoting that level of violence if they're trying to get the players to back off of that.
Well, here's what I think they're going to try to do, Scott. They're probably going to do a search through their inventory. And what they're going to do is they're going to take a look at and find the hits that did not involve the head. So they'll find the shoulder to shoulder. They'll find the forearm to the chest. They'll find the flips. You know, we hit a guy low and he flips over. So you'll still be able to see some form of violence, but they will not promote the head to head collisions. But there's still some real violent, you know, collisions between players, but involve shoulders to shoulders and forearm to shoulders, but nothing head to head.
Now, see, and this whole thing started not last Sunday, but last Saturday, dates back to last Saturday, when Rutgers football player Eric LeGrand was paralyzed from the neck down in the Rutgers Army game. You know, he during the game with like 5 minutes left to go, it was a 17-all game, and he was on the kickoff team. Ball went down. The wedge was formed. One kid went through the wedge, and then he was the second guy through the wedge, dropped his head, hit head-on with the cat, hit him in his chest with his head, and went down and laid there for 5 minutes. And now he's in the hospital, and he's paralyzed from the neck down. Now, the tackling technique, and this is what I've been saying and talking about with you, is that the whole tackling technique has gone away from the game. At the Pop Warner level, you're taught how to form tackle. You're taught to, you know, bow your head, pull your chest, hit with the numbers, and drive. And that's reinforced at the high school level as well. I've talked to three high school coaches today, about this subject, and their focus throughout their high school careers as coaches has been making sure kids head to the side, tackle with the shoulder pad. Head to the side, tackle. Head up into the side, tackle with the shoulder pad. Drive and put them down that way. Now, at some point, the shift is happening where it's no longer the tackle, but it's the money shot.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it the money shot. I would call it the dream shot because it is a shot of which you dream about. I mean, it's one of those things, Scott, you're a ball player yourself. You know this.
Yep.
If it's the last shot of the game, if it's driving down, you know, the entire court and pulling up, hitting that jumper, you know, there are things that you dream about as an athlete. And I remember myself even going to Ohio State when I was there my freshman, the night before we actually went to the training camp for 2 days and sitting on top of the stadium and just, you know, looking and dreaming about what my career might look like at Ohio State. So there are certain things that you watch on TV and you just dream of that moment that might happen. Now, one thing I will say about coaching is, yes, coaches do emphasize and reemphasize technique, but they know when it's all said and done. I remember when I hurt my neck and I was playing against the San Francisco 49ers, and I think it's Big Rothman, you know, the fullback that the 49ers had. All I saw was his cleats on my chest, and I truly mean that, because I had hurt my neck and I couldn't tackle. I remember sticking my foot up and tripping him just to get him down. Whatever you can do to get a player down, you do that. There are times on a football field where you have the opportunity to make that form tackle, and you make it. There's other times where you just have to make a tackle. I always say the corners in the NFL, they don't hit, they tackle. And they have to be very good tacklers, because the people that they're guarding are world-class sprinters. So if you miss them, nobody's going to catch them. A linebacker, you know, every now and then he gets the opportunity to make that picture perfect form tackle that he's been taught. But you're right. When you watch, particularly at the NFL level, there's terrible tackling techniques. It's more about hitting and just trying to knock a man down as opposed to being an example of how to tackle. That happens in, as you mentioned, Pop Warner and in high school. When you go to college, in my opinion, is where everything changes, because college is a realization of the next level, and the next level is the money level. And so in college is where you're really trying to do everything you possibly can to get noticed. That's where you develop your identity, has to come in college, because now it's like when you're in high school, you may have played two or three different positions. In college, you're going to play one.
Right.
And you're going to be very good at that and perhaps go to the next level.
And that's when you're trying to get that paycheck.
And that's where those real hits come in at. They start coming in at college.
And, you know, unfortunately, those dream hits can become those nightmare hits.
In the
case of this kid from Rutgers.
And you know what's interesting, Scott, is what a lot of people fail to realize, too. A lot of times it may end up that it's actually the person that's making the hit and not the person on the receiving side that actually ends up being injured.
And I'm glad you said that, because that was a statement that I was just getting ready to go to, because if you look at some of the quotes coming out of the NFL and the players, which to me, when I say you're a role model, you have to be careful what you say. You have these guys making statements like, you know what, if I get a chance to knock somebody out, I'm going to do that. And that's Channing Crowder from the Miami Dolphins. You know, you got Scott Fajita saying, well, you know, hey, that's what we're taught to do. That's too bad. You know, and here's the thing, Channing, you might put your head down to lay that hit, but you might be the one getting carried off the field.
And you're right about that, Scott, and it has to do with your head position. The head is not supposed to be dry. When you tackle somebody, you know what I like about Mike Singletary? Mike Singletary used to approach the game. When he would line up in his position, Mike's eyes were wide open. And I always, you know, tell my son and other kids, too, when you want to teach a kid about tackling technique, is, you know, you can always watch on film and you can tell who closed their eyes. Because if a running back makes a move at the last second on the tackler, and the tackler's arms don't make the adjustment to the new position of the running back's body, his eyes are closed.
That's right. That's right.
And so Mike's eyes were always wide open. And if your eyes are wide open, you can see where your head is. You can see the last minute adjustments that the running back is making, and you can make a lot of tackles. Mike didn't miss tackles. He didn't miss tackles.
So now let me ask you this, Ray, because do you think, I mean, I wrote this note on my sheet early on. It's all about cause and effect. I mean, you've got the situation that's happening at the NFL level, which is causing the high school or the college kids to respond so that they can get that payday. And then you've got a limited number of scholarship opportunities for high school players fighting to get into those colleges. So now you have the high school players trying to get to lower the boom and get those hits. I mean, do you see this as a cause and effect situation that's just trickled down into the lower levels? And here's the thing. We may hear about the college kids getting paralyzed. We may hear about the pro guys getting paralyzed. What we're not hearing is stats about kids that are getting hurt from tackling the wrong way.
And it shows like this, Guy, where you get a chance to speak to an audience of perhaps of a different demographics, because of course your concentration and focus has been on the high school levels of both of all sports, but in particular football and basketball, and recently some track and some other things. So yes, you have to watch you know, how you approach this thing, and what will eventually end up happening. And the cause and the effects, the cause is, listen, guys, it's gotten to the point, you know, and it's affected the game to the point whereas we have people out here on the field that they don't really know how to play the game anymore. And so what we've got to do is we've now, the effect is on the younger kids who are going to be your product of tomorrow. You've now got to send that message down clear, so when they come to your sport on Sundays, that they're playing it in the way of which you want it to be played. So that message has to get down, and has to get down there fast, because those are the kids. That's your product 5 years from now.
Right.
That's your product 10 years from now. So they've got to start working on the new way of playing football, in particular of how to tackle. And so this has caused an effect that will be felt down at the high school level, that they better start penalizing kids for, you know, vicious hits to the head. And hopefully it'll be for the benefit of everybody. It'll still be a good football game. It won't be the physical football game we knew of the yesteryear, but it'll still be a good football game. And the NFL, for years, all of us who were in the secondary have always felt we've been at a tremendous disadvantage. But it's almost as if the fans prefer to see the exciting offensive part of the game as opposed to violent part of the game.
Well, it's going
to
be interesting to see how it all shakes up, because you and I have talked in the past about how, like you just said, there's been a disadvantage for the defense. Well, this rule is going, or this point of emphasis for the NFL is going to make that even harder for the defense, because now the offense is even more protected. And, you know, when, like you and I were talking about earlier, you get guys who have a shot, and then they pull up off of that shot because they don't want to get that fine or don't want to get suspended. They don't want to be the example. So it is going to, we're going to see a significant shift. In basketball, we've seen a shift with the three-point arch. People either want to shoot a three or they want to get a dunk. They go all the way to the rim. So the mid-range game has disappeared. And college coaches are asking coaches to start focusing on that short-range mid-game, because they don't have that at the college level. So I'm sure eventually the NFL is going to start to see that same type of situation occur and ask for help.
Yeah, and you know, the generation of which, you know, when I played in school, you know, the 70s and 80s, there was a mid-range game before the three points became a part of the game.
Yep.
You know, it was a mid-range game. You know, a guy could drive to the hole, you know, and pull up, you know, inside the foul line, you know, boom, and he's got a touch. He could shoot a jumper, or, you know, just a teardrop, you know, whatever. You had those things, those aspects of the game. So we'll see what happens. Basketball made this adjustment, and people love the game today. Football's a physical game, but we got to make some adjustments. But I think our game will survive.
I think it will, too. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovely. We want to thank Ray Ellis for joining us this portion of the show. We'll be back in a few seconds. We're going to take a quick break.
Everybody got game, but we just here to let y'all know that P.E. is in full effect.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Each week, take a visit inside the locker room of your favorite sport with Dez Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis as they bring you sportsmanlike conduct. As a current player, Dez Clark can bring you inside the sports world like nobody can. His co-hosts represent the fans of the sports world. With both points of view on the table, it becomes an engaging and entertaining program, to say the least. Sportsmanlike Conduct can be heard Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Get ready to talk sports with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery, every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
Here's what's happening this week on Forever Hunting's Trail with Jim and Trav.
Cam Edwards with NRA's Cam & Company, John Debney with Delta Waterfowl, Anthony Houck with Pheasants Forever, and Mark Crane, who will give us an update on elk hunting, will be our special guests. And we'll be headed on the trail with a guy that got arrested for stealing clothes from a scarecrow. We're talking about those guys from Vanderbilt's, your work boot center, Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. I'm Jim Ferguson. I'll see you on the trail.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Coach Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely, and we're wrapping up today's show. And you know, I want to thank Ray Ellis for joining us and giving us his perspective, being a former NFL player and being a part of the NFL Players Association alumni and the things that he's doing. So he sees it from a different perspective and understands it from a different level than most of us, because that fraternity, they're a pretty tight fraternity and talk about these issues and address these issues on a regular basis. And with the shift that's happening at the NFL level, there's going to have to be some shifts that take place both at the college level and at the high school level, and the emphasis has got to go back to protecting the players' necks. How to tackle so that you don't hurt yourself, because we don't want to see, and I don't want to brush past what happened at Rutgers without really focusing on what that young man's going through. He is now a paraplegic, I believe. And so he's struggling right now in the hospital. Evidently his spirits are high, and his coaching staff and everybody at the school supporting him and saying he's a fighter. And, you know, the focus now is for him to get better and adjust to his lifestyle as it is or as it will be. Hopefully at some point he will regain, but I have not heard any news about his status at this point. So – and if you saw the hit that he laid on that game on the Army player, you know, it was a poor decision to just put his head down and lead with the head and become a missile, which is what caused him to be injured. And it's sad, and I hope that high school players and college players and people who are watching that game take heed about how to tackle someone and do so that you don't end up in that situation, so that you don't end up hurt, because that's not a temporary situation. You know, he's going to have to live with that and deal with that from now on. So it's important that we focus on it. And guys, listen to your coaches. Your coaches are going to give you the proper techniques and the things that you need in order to play the game safely. And, you know, referees are going to have to level some penalties at the high school level to make sure that these athletes are taking care of themselves and the people that they're playing against. And the game's going to shift a little bit. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with the game shifting. Every game shifts. Every generation plays it a different way. As Ray was leaving the studio, we were talking about back in the days when guys played with leather hats or leather helmets instead of the helmets that they're playing with now. And, you know, maybe we go back to that. No, I don't think so. So anyways, that's our topic for the week. And, you know, before we go, I want to talk about a couple games that took place this past week and give some recognition to a few teams. I saw that Centennial fell to Red Mountain 31-24. So good game for Red Mountain. Marcos Deniza handled Casa Grande 60-0. And so there was a couple good games this past week. And so I want to give props to those teams that played this past week. And I want to thank you for listening. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely. We're going to go ahead and sign it off for the week. Remember, leave it better than you found it.
If it don't mean nothing, what is game? Who got game? Where's the game? And like, behind the game, behind the game. I got game, she got game, we got game, they got game, he got game. It might feel good.
The game's over for another week, but come on back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, for another discussion about high school sports and more on the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.